Imagine pouring like $5 million into a massive state-of-the-art vending machine, right? You press the button and absolutely nothing comes out.
Just completely jammed.
Exactly. It jams. And that is exactly what happens in corporate boardrooms literally every single day when it comes to employee training.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, you see companies spending fortunes on these new software platforms, endless developmental programs, and now, vast libraries of AI-generated content. They expect higher organizational performance to just sort of drop out of the
All
bottom.
right, because the expectation is highly transactional.
Yes.
You buy the training, the employees consume it, and the company supposedly gets better.
Yeah.
But the structural disconnect there is just massive.
It really is.
Organizations invest heavily in the physical act of learning, yet they are essentially flying blind when it comes to measuring whether that learning actually impacts daily execution.
Well, and we have a stack of sources today that tackle this specific jammed machine. Welcome to the Deep Dive, everyone. Today we're looking into the Xerion ecosystem and its knowledge engine.
It's a fascinating stack of
It
documents.
really is. And the mission for you today, for our listener, is to explore how this technology attempts to fix that fundamental flaw in traditional corporate learning. It claims to transform training from a static administrative box-ticking exercise into an intelligent, real-time performance driver.
Yeah, and to understand the magnitude of that shift, we kind of have to look at the baseline of where corporate infrastructure stands right now.
Right, the classic LMS.
Exactly. Traditional learning management systems, they were built to manage files, not to steer human capabilities.
I mean, they're essentially digital filing cabinets for SCORM packages and videos.
That's all they are. They lack the fundamental architectural capacity to understand the context of what employees doing, let alone, make a tactical decision based on that context.
No intelligence whatsoever.
Right. And that absence of intelligence is the exact void the Xerion layer is designed to fill.
Well, and a major conceptual shift jumps out immediately when you look at how these systems treat data. It's the move from tracking activities to interpreting signals.
Yes, that's a huge distinction in the text.
It is, because tracking activities in an old LMS, it feels a lot like looking at vanity metrics on a social media post, doesn't it?
Oh, absolutely.
You count the likes, you track the views, but you have zero insight into the actual intent behind those clicks.
Right, because a classical system records isolated events statistically. So if an employee clicks on a module or repeats a specific training task, like four times, the old LMS logs that is high engagement.
That's how much they love this course.
Exactly. It sees the sheer volume of clicks, assumes the content is highly compelling, and marks the user as dedicated. But what's fascinating here is that Xerion looks at that exact same behavioral data and interprets it as a glaring skill gap.
Wait, really? It sees it as a negative.
Because it's looking for the context of the struggle. I mean, if someone has to repeat a diagnostic task or a compliance quiz five times, they aren't enthusiastic about the material.
Oh, they are
They are
stuck.
completely stuck. It's a warning sign of missing comprehension. A traditional system celebrates the repetition,
Right.
right? But an intelligence layer flags it as a failure in knowledge transfer.
Wow. And there are a few other scenarios in the sources that highlight this difference in interpreting signals. Take something as simple as starting a course.
Right.
An LMS logs a timestamp, course initiated at 9 a.m. But Xerion processes that signal and asks, why exactly now?
What's the trigger?
Right. What is the underlying prompt that drove this employee to seek out this specific knowledge at this exact moment? Or, consider when a user quits a module halfway through, the old system just dings the completion rate and records a drop-off.
Yeah, whereas Xerion wants to know if the content was poorly structured or if the timing was simply incompatible with the employee's workflow.
That context is king.
It really is the shift from asking what happened to asking why did it happen. I mean, a drop-off might indicate the material was too rudimentary or, conversely, full of undefined jargon.
Or they just got a Slack message.
Or it could just mean the employee's calendar triggered a meeting alert. Without deducing the why, any attempt to fix the problem is just guessing.
That brings up a massive technical hurdle, though, because deducing why is natural for us, right? If someone sighs heavily while reading a report, I can just ask what's confusing them.
Sure.
But how does a software architecture actually deduce the nuanced context behind a dropped module or a paused video?
Well, the sources map out what they call Xerion's knowledge lifecycle, which functions as the brain of the operation. It's not a linear input-output pipe.
Okay.
It is a continuous, permanent loop of recognizing, interpreting, acting, measuring, and optimizing. And the foundational step is the capture phase,
which means pulling data.
Right, but vastly more than just LMS quiz scores. It aggregates unstructured data PDFs, HR records, ERP data, project management logs, and even communication flows like emails and enterprise chats.
Okay, let's unpack this for a second, because the next phase is called connect and understand, and the documentation relies heavily on terms like natural language processing, entity recognition, vector databases, and ontologies.
A lot of buzzwords.
So many buzzwords. If it's just ingesting a mountain of PDFs and emails, I have to ask, isn't this essentially just a glorified enterprise search engine?
I can see why you'd think that.
I mean, if I search for sales strategy, it finds the email with those words and matches it to the PDF with those words.
And that is exactly the trap most legacy systems fall into, keyword matching.
Right.
But surface-level matching has no semantic understanding. When Xerion uses a vector database, it is not looking for exact letters.
Then what is it looking for?
Think of a vector database as mapping every concept in your company onto an enormous 3D map. Concepts that are related are physically grouped closer together in this digital space.
Oh, okay.
So the system understands that the concept of an engine is spatially close to a transmission. Even if the specific document never uses the word engine, it understands the neighborhood of the idea.
That makes sense. So it's mapping the relationships between ideas rather than just running a CTRLF for specific words.
Exactly.
But what about the ontologies they mentioned? Where do those fit into this 3D map?
The ontology acts as the laws of physics for that specific universe.
Laws of physics.
Yeah, it defines the rules of your business reality. It tells the system what a customer is, what a product is, and what a support ticket is, and how they are allowed to interact.
Okay, I think I follow.
So it establishes that an employee can resolve a support ticket, but a product cannot resolve a customer. This prevents the AI from hallucinating absurd connections.
So when Knowledge Graph connects the dots, it's strictly bound by the logic of the business.
Yes. So instead of just flagging the word sales and throwing 20 documents at a user, the system recognizes that, say, employee A is struggling with the concept of objection handling for product X based on the language they used in recent support tickets.
Wow.
It understands the operational reality of the employee.
And the sources bring up a R pipeline to pull this off, right? Retrieve, augment, generate.
Yeah, the RIRI pipeline is the mechanism that turns that mapped understanding into a targeted response.
Right.
It retrieves the exact right concepts from the vector database, augments them with the specific real-time context of the user, and generates a highly specific, localized answer, rather than just giving them a generic manual.
Okay, so the digital brain now understands exactly why an employee is stuck. It has the contextual knowledge mapped out. But having the answer sitting in a cloud server doesn't really help the person struggling on the factory floor or the sales rep freezing up on a call.
No, it doesn't.
So how does the system actually intervene in the real world?
Well, that leads to the final phase of the lifecycle, which is the ACT phase. The mapped intelligence has to be translated into tangible knowledge outputs that intervene directly in the operative reality.
Like actually doing something about it.
Right. This isn't about sending a manager an analytics dashboard to review next quarter.
Which is usually too late.
Way too late. It takes the form of intelligent search, proactive insights, and smart automation that triggers workflows without human intervention.
Let's ground this for you listening. The documentation outlines a scenario involving a field service technician that really clarifies how this works outside of a web browser.
Yes, that's a great example.
So on paper, according to the HR department's compliance software, this technician has completed all required training. Every mandatory box is checked, and they are fully certified.
Yet out in the field, the performance data tells a very different story.
Right.
The technician is making diagnostic errors and running highly inefficient processes, taking significantly longer to repair machinery than the baseline average.
And a classic LMS has absolutely zero visibility into that. As far as the old system knows, the technician passed a multiple choice quiz on an iPad 6 months ago. So the problem must be something else.
Exactly. But Xerion Adaptive Learning is plugged into the operational data. It's monitoring the signals from the diagnostic tools the technician's actually using.
So it sees the errors.
It contextualizes those errors in real time. It identifies that the technician grasps the overall mechanical system, but is failing at a very specific micro-competency regarding one particular pressure valve.
Here's where it gets really interesting. because it identifies that isolated gap, it doesn't default to the standard corporate response.
It is assigning a new mandatory 2-hour compliance course to be completed by Friday.
Exactly. Instead, it intervenes dynamically at the moment of friction.
Right. The intervention happens through the tools the employee is already holding.
Mm-hmm.
The system communicates via API with the technician's diagnostic software or tablet. While they are actively troubleshooting the machine, Xerion delivers a targeted microlearning nugget. Perhaps a 45-second dynamic schematic or a specific video clip addressing that exact pressure valve.
It's the precise knowledge required, delivered in the flow of work exactly when the cognitive need is highest.
Which directly correlates to measurable business impact. You see reduced error rates, accelerated process times, and less machine downtime.
You are no longer hoping the training is retained from a classroom setting.
No, you are guaranteeing its application in the field.
Let's pull this out of the industrial setting, though, and look at how this manifests for a white-collar worker, because the mechanism applies to entirely different workflows.
It absolutely does.
Imagine a mid-level sales executive working inside their CRM platform. They are drafting a proposal for a major client, and they decide to apply a 20% discount to close the deal before the end of the quarter.
Very common scenario. In a traditional setup, maybe a manager reviews that discount a week later.
Yeah, after the contract is already signed.
Right. But with an intelligence layer integrated into the CRM, the system evaluates the signal immediately. Xerion's ontology recognizes the specific product, the client's industry sector, and the sales rep's historical win-loss ratio.
So it doesn't just block the discount with a generic error message.
No, it retrieves an insight from the vector database, showing that, historically within this specific industry vertical, competitors are winning based on implementation speed, not price.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, and it augments that data with the rep's current proposal and generates a micro-intervention right there in the CRM window.
Like what kind of intervention?
Maybe a specific objection handling script or a 1-minute audio brief from the VP of sales on how to pitch the timeline instead of dropping the price.
That is incredible. It stops the margin bleed before the email is even sent. But looking at the scale of this, implementing a brain like this raises a massive logistical wall for most executives. I mean, if an organization wants these real-time cross-platform interventions, it sounds like they have to rip out their entire existing HR infrastructure, their current LMS, and their communication stack just to install Xerion.
And that assumption is actually one of the biggest barriers to adoption. But the sources explicitly address it.
They do.
Yeah. The ecosystem is not designed to be a bulldozer. It operates on an integration API, providing knowledge as a service to the systems you already have.
Oh, okay.
So it connects to adaptive management platforms, instructional design tools, and project management software. It is an overlay, not a replacement.
See, the documentation highlights a specific partnership with LearnDash 5.x, which is a massive, widely deployed learning management system.
You did.
And I have to push back hard on this. If I am an enterprise paying for this incredibly sophisticated Xerion brain, a system that can semantically map my entire business and intervene in real time, why am I still paying a subscription for LearnDash?
That's a fair question.
Why doesn't Xerion just handle the course hosting too?
Well, because building enterprise-grade execution infrastructure is an entirely different engineering challenge than building cognitive intelligence.
How so?
The text frames this as the relationship between the brain and the muscle. LearnDash, or any established LMS, has spent years perfecting scalable architecture.
Right.
They handle complex group hierarchies, strict compliance logging, dynamic certificate generation, and server load balancing for tens of thousands of simultaneous users. That is incredibly heavy lifting.
Ah, I see. So Xerion doesn't want to get bogged down in the administrative plumbing of user passwords and SCORM compliance.
Exactly. It wants to be the prefrontal cortex, not the bicep.
The brain and the muscle.
Yeah. LearnDash has incredible muscle, but it fundamentally lacks intelligence. It doesn't know why it's deploying a module.
Right.
In this symbiotic ecosystem, LearnDash is stripped of its decision-making power. It becomes purely the execution layer. Xerion analyzes the signals, determines the exact knowledge requirement, and then commands LearnDash to deliver the specific asset.
The brain steers, the muscle executes.
Precisely.
Taking the infrastructure you already rely on and supercharging it with an intelligence layer. Which brings us to the broader market context. The sources point to three specific pressures forcing organizations to adopt this architecture right now, making it an urgent operational necessity rather than just, you know, a futuristic luxury.
Right. And the first pressure is the accelerating half-life of skills.
Yeah, the gap is closing.
The gap between a skill being introduced and becoming obsolete is shrinking rapidly. Traditional instructional design just cannot keep pace.
By the time a comprehensive 6-month training program is storyboarded, approved, and deployed, the operational requirements on the ground have already shifted.
Static courses are basically dead on arrival.
That makes the agile micro-intervention model the really only viable path. And the second pressure ties directly into the current tech landscape.
A proliferation of generative AI.
Yeah.
Every employee now has the ability to generate massive amounts of text, documentation, and processes instantly. We are flooding our own corporate networks with an unprecedented volume of content.
It's just noise at this point.
Without a semantic intelligence layer to organize, filter, and map that noise, employees simply drown in a sea of unverified information.
We've made it infinitely easier to pile up a haystack, which makes finding the needle nearly impossible without an intelligent magnet.
That's a great way to put it. And the third pressure is pure operational velocity.
Speed.
Speed is the ultimate competitive moat. The future doesn't belong to the enterprise with the largest, most beautifully produced library of training videos.
No.
It belongs to the organization that can interpret operational context faster, make precise knowledge decisions faster, and execute targeted interventions faster than anyone else in their sector.
So, synthesizing all of this for you, the listener, the ultimate takeaway from the Xerion ecosystem is a fundamental reframing of the corporate objective.
Mm-hmm.
The primary question for leadership is no longer, how do we get our employees to learn more, or how do we increase our course completion metrics? The mandate is now, how do we dynamically and strategically steer human capability in the flow of work?
The management of static content is a solved problem. The frontier is driving actual measurable performance through deep semantic understanding.
It's finally getting the vending machine to deliver exactly what you paid for.
Exactly.
But before we wrap up this deep dive, there is a secondary consequence to this technology that isn't explicitly detailed in the sales brochures, but it naturally emerges from the architecture we've been discussing.
Yeah, the human element of this.
Right. If we extrapolate the reality of a system that is constantly monitoring signals, evaluating your hesitations in a CRM, tracking your repeated diagnostic errors in the field, analyzing the exact timestamp you pause a video, the goal is absolute performance optimization. But the byproduct is the complete erosion of failing in private.
Wow. Yeah, you no longer have the luxury of struggling through a problem unobserved.
Because the system always knows.
The traditional safety net of the learning curve involves a lot of messy, unmonitored trial and error. You try something, it breaks, you figure it out on your own, and you internalize the lesson.
But if an AI intelligence layer is perpetually hovering over your workflow,
instantly correcting every micro mistake the second you make it, what happens to the psychological safety of independent problem solving?
It's a delicate tension between driving flawless execution for the company and stripping away the autonomy of the individual's learning process.
We are essentially trading the freedom to be temporarily incompetent for guaranteed efficiency.
Definitely a dynamic to keep in mind the next time a helpful digital prompt pops up on your screen.